plus minus.
Curry, way downtown.
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Oh,
tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Wow, this edition of Warriors Plus Minus is coming after the Warriors' third straight road win. TK, when's the last time we did a Warriors plus minus and the Warriors were 3-0 on the road?
Maybe never. That's what gets us to record these things after the game. Like, when have we done a post game all? I'm sorry, you do all 82s all the time because Slater's doing all every game of the season. But when
somebody
we do...
already commented and said all 81 because I didn't do one off last night's game. So.
But you did one in the preseason, so you was good.
Right?
You know what, Slater? You should just say, listen, you know what? I just interviewed every single player on the team after that game, so I think that should be okay for everybody.
So you just put all the interviews up in podcast form. Maybe that would have been good. By the way, to answer your question, Marcus, we certainly didn't do it last year because their longest run winning streak last year was two games.
They were 0-8. Guess when they did it, though? The last time the Warriors won the first three road games of the year.
When they won 73 games, would it be that year?
No, 21-22, the year they went on to win a championship.
Okay.
Remember they won at the Lakers. And then they beat the Kings and Thunder.
I mean, they were like 18-2 to start.
Yeah, that's right.
So it wasn't that long ago, but the way I set it up, it definitely sounded like it was going to be a while ago. So it was a trick question. Slater, you are in New Orleans. You aren't in a costume.
I'm on the Warriors bench right now from tonight.
You're on the Warriors bench. It don't look like you're in a costume, and I'm curious, why are you not in a costume? It's New Orleans on Halloween's Eve, so why are you slipping?
Because I'm a working man. It's Halloween Eve. My young child will be in a pumpkin costume when I get home tomorrow, I have been told. So I will celebrate at my house, not on the Warriors bench.
Well, Steph Curry celebrated on the court.
Yes, he did.
After dropping, 42 points? But it feels like the big story. I mean, Steph going crazy is not a new phenomenon. But, man, TK, that bench looks pretty good.
They basically have two good units now. I mean, we'll see, but I think it's fair enough on a back-to-back when you don't have Clay and Kuminga, and they do the same stuff they did last night in Houston. This is something. That Chris Paul unit, whoever he's with, and it's like he didn't have Moody on that unit because Moody was with the Steph unit. He had different pieces. Trace,
two Jackson, rookies,
Davis, yeah, Podzemski, and GP2 is a perennial, and Saric are the two. It's really, you know, CP3, GP2, and Saric are kind of the focal points of this. But damn, man, you just look. I was looking at the game flow. It's like Curry plus them together, sort of plus Paul unit plus. Like it's really hard to beat the Warriors when they're winning the Curry non-Curry minutes, and they are killing in the non-Curry minutes, at least the last two games. That means something. That's structural. That's not just, hey, other team had a bad night or something. Steph got hot. Steph did get hot. But when they have that other piece, when they can play 16 minutes a game or so and win them and not even have Steph on the floor, that's humongous. I can't remember when they had this kind of balance. Now, again, early in the season, but when you felt, you know, when a Warrior observer could feel pretty confident about where they were when Steph was off the court, that is a humongous, humongous kind of level for the Warriors to get to, even this early in the season.
Chris Paul's like plus 45 in four games. I said that stat to Steph during his little – he did like a little locker room scrum, old school locker room scrum tonight. And Chris Paul was like, you know, three seats over. And he's like – kind of eyes was like, oh, geez, plus 45. But, you know, I thought Gary Payton made an interesting point at the in his presser tonight that he thinks Steph – because, you know, look, think about the last two games. Steph just explodes in the fourth quarter in Houston and exploded in the second half tonight, really the third to close it out. He feels Steph looks fresher later in the games because of Chris Paul, because Chris Paul is handling, controlling the game and just taking some of that burden, right? Steph just does not look like, you know, he's having these big point games, but it doesn't feel like an exhausting 42 points tonight. It's lower minutes and it's just lower responsibility for him out there. And I brought that idea to Steph. And one of the things he said beyond just like, yeah, Chris Paul is, you know, making it so I don't have to play point guard or do this or that. He said it's just relaxing for him to sit over on the bench and not worry that the lead is going away. And not, he said he just likes playing, you know, watching good basketball. It's he said it subconsciously, you know, gives him more energy when he's watching his teammates when he's not out there play good basketball. And I think that's really is kind of what's happening.
It's the strength in numbers synergy, right? It's the vibes he's getting over there on the bench. It feels good. To me, the part that's still a bit mind-blowing is – you got Chris Paul out there with Kuminga and Moody and Klay Thompson and Saric, or GP2 instead of Klay Thompson. Like, I mean, those are good players, right? It makes sense. I mean, tonight he's out there running the show with Pajimski, Trayce Jackson-Davis. Saric is not playing well, and somehow it still all works, right? When he needs to get a bucket, he gets a bucket. When he needs to set guys up, he set guys up. It feels like this wasn't even an optimum or an optimal like bench night.
Yeah, that unit had no spacing.
It was bad. And you know, still worked.
And the shot clock, there's Chris Paul dribbling around and fading away from 15. Boom. I know he'd been joking or serious, or sometimes it's hard to tell with him about, you know, what was 1-for-17 from the mid range, you know, a couple games ago. He is not 1-for-17 from the mid range anymore. And I think he's feeling it too. It's like, I can go, you know, 100% full tilt for these 25 minutes, whatever it's going to be. And then I got Steph coming in. You know, I mean, I think they're kind of feeding off each other, where Chris Paul does not have to worry about the other guard when he's out. And Steph Curry doesn't have to worry about the other guard when he's out. And it frees them up. And I've just been focusing on that third quarter. We know historically they've been dominating the third quarter when they've been great, and they're doing it again so far this season. It just seems like, you know, they get a read of the game separately and then together, and then they just explode. Those two guys leading the way. No Klay tonight. Wiggins was not great again tonight, you know, all those other things. And it just doesn't matter because those two guys are playing so well and they're lifting everybody else up while they're, you know, playing at this level. Could, you know, maybe there's going to be a dip in energy at some point. Maybe there's going to be, you know, run into tougher teams on the road. But this is formidable. I think if you're one of the Western rivals, you're looking at this go, this is going to be a problem throughout the season and into the playoffs if they stay healthy. Those two guys playing like this, feeding off each other like this, that this is what the Warriors have been hoping for out of Chris Paul. And I saw you ask her about it after, and he's like, yeah, it's exceeding. It's happening faster than he thought it was going to be. And, you know, this is with Draymond not even, you know, nearly at full speed. Defensively, maybe, but not offensively.
He's still not there. Way off. He's still not there defensively, but I don't think Wiggins is playing very well either.
No,
I think that's another chip.
He knows it too. He's kind of in his. He said he's starting to feel better. I just think he's trying to play himself in the condition. The rebound at the stat to continually circle, and it'll tell you, you know, a little bit like Kuminga, right? It'll tell you how Wiggins is doing. The thing with the bench, and you know, you guys mentioned that it was kind of a more hodgepodge unit tonight, but then it's like, and this is a statement about the whole league, but you look at who they're going against tonight. This is New Orleans bench tonight. Dyson Daniels, Larry Nance, Matt Ryan, Kaiser Gates, and Kira Lewis Jr. Like, Chris Paul is going to pummel bad second units, and there's a lot of bad average second units across the league, and the Warriors were certainly one of those last season and don't look to be this season. Number one and two, we're seeing the benefits of the way they constructed the roster to fit what they, you know, high IQ, pass, cut, move. Not all of them have to be shooters. You know, Trayce Jackson-Davis lobbed threat for Chris Paul, ready, polished rookie. Pajemski looks pretty polished, and he made some plays tonight. So those two, that's not Ryan Rollins, Patrick Baldwin Jr.
You don't think Patrick Baldwin or Ryan Rollins could be doing this?
I feel like you've trained the Warriors fan base to, like, keep bringing up Wiseman, TK. Like, they're all like...
I don't think he had to trade anybody.
No, he'd have to trade. He has to trade him. TJD is already better than Wiseman. I've seen that.
Yeah,
I've seen that multiple times already. It's like, You set him up.
I've said it myself. I think I said it game two. I might even said it game one. I guess he didn't play in game one, but he just moves correctly, right? He can finish. He catches.
The missed shot, TK. He misses a shot. It comes off the rim, and he catches it and dunks it in one motion.
Quick jumps.
That was a big play. Yeah, he talked about
that's like coordination, right? It's just it wasn't a lob to himself. It was like a miss off the rim. That was where it was like, okay, like you don't see Wiseman do that, where it's like, oh, where am I? Like, let me gather first.
How about Marvin Bagley? You can just rope Marvin Bagley. Yeah, no question. This. You can rip another different center. But no, it's his second jump ability, which he credited. You guys want to know the funny TJD anecdote of the night from here in New Orleans? So he has 13 points and 9 rebounds, and he gets his 10th rebound, and the bench goes nuts. You know, there's whatever, a minute left in the game. And he, you know, he's glowing about it, right? It's his first double-double. He goes up to the podium. He's super happy about it because he tells the story that they call him baby T, and he doesn't like it. And he said that they have told him once he gets his first double-double, they will strip him of the nickname and he can go back to Trace. And he's like, they, you know, all the veterans thought it was going to take a lot longer, but you know, 3 games, you know, now they have to call me Trace. And even Draymond was yelling, Baby T who in the tunnel post game, but then come to learn the NBA has stripped a rebound from him. He's informed of this. They gave Jerome Robinson his 10th rebound, so he goes down to 9 because they said it was a controlled tap. And he's informed of this on the podium, but also in the locker room. And Jerome Robinson's laughing about it, and Clay is super pumped up because he's like, the nickname is back, baby T is back, because he got 13-9 instead of 13-10. So all that to say, first of all, he played well, right? 13-9. Kerr mentions the fact that the two rookies combined for 18 rebounds, but also, I mean, everybody's saying it, I know you guys are seeing it, but the vibes around this team are very good, right?
Yep, no, they were asked him on air what he want to be called, and he said TJD. He wants that to be his nickname.
I know he does not want it to be Baby T.
Yeah, he should have said Baby T on air.
Yeah, they and I, you know, it's just funny. They were the locker room is excited because the rookie gets the double-double stripped away just because they want to call him Baby T.
I'll just throw this in, by the way. James Wiseman, 4 games with the Pistons to start the season, 4 DMPs. He is not playing. He is not in the rotation. Not even close to the rotation. Interesting. Just interesting to know.
Yeah, it is. And like, you know, look, at this point, the James Wiseman pick, like it was a bad pick for where he went. I will say about Wiseman, not only obviously he had kind of had a turbulent career with the Warriors, not a great situation, but it's kind of stinks for him that the Pistons were the ones that traded for him. The Pistons that had Jalen Duren already and Isaiah Stewart, and they had Marvin Bagley, who they just signed to a 3-for-36. Like, I know it was a young team, and you did want him to go to a young team because he needs to play, but it was a young team with a bunch of bigs that he doesn't fit around. And
I was thinking, is he going to go to the G League or something? I mean, it's the whole thing again. He's got to play. And they're paying him to
Minnesota next.
And they're paying him $12 million, right?
If you're the Pistons, who, you know, probably need to decide if he's part of your future, like, why is Marvin Bagley on your team? You know, trade Marvin Bagley or just play him over Marvin Bagley. I understand Bagley probably is helping win more now, and maybe there's an edict to win more now. Monty Williams is there. And maybe they've already decided Wiseman's not part of the future, but it's weird. He needs to play. I think he, you know, I still think he could be a serviceable center a little bit like into his mid-20s, but he's just now bounced to another team where it's very crowded ahead of him.
And my last thought on Pistons plus minus is, Sadiq Bey would be better for them. There's no question. There's no question Sadiq Bey would be better. I don't know why they flipped Sadiq Bey for James Wiseman. But anyway, enough of Pistons plus minus. We're doing Warriors plus minus. What's wrong? Well, you said Wiggins is just, I don't know. I mean, he got a couple buckets there in the third quarter. Kerr called that. We know that cross screen play for him to get in the ball in low post against the guard. He scores. He hits another shot, and then completely nothing again. And I was thinking if Kuminga was dressed in this game, Kuminga would have played more than him. Just
oh, by the way, he did not close in the first half. It was Gary Payton out there instead of him.
Yep.
And there was no closing lineup in the fourth, but if there was, he probably wouldn't have been a part of it.
That's with Kuminga and Clay out, by the way. He still wouldn't have been part of it. Is there a danger territory here for him? I mean, not like they're going to dump him or anything.
No,
but
No. I mean, because they're playing so well, it's allowing him and Draymond, I think, to kind of ease themselves into this. Probably the opposite of
danger, right? Like, yeah. If they were losing, then it'd be really a problem.
Well, personality-wise, he can handle not closing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to, like, rattle tables about it. He's just got to get himself in shape. I don't think he played a ton of basketball over the summer. I know he was part of their, like, Vegas workout, so it's not like he played zero basketball, but he didn't play for, you know, Team Canada. He didn't play – we've talked about this, but, like, right? He didn't play much basketball last season. He just showed up in the playoffs and tried to give him his, you know, the best he could. He wasn't very good in the playoffs, really, overall. I don't know. He's just, I think he's easier than the season. I don't think it's an alarm bell time yet.
I just think with Kuminga, if Kuminga keeps coming, you know, he's going to take minutes. He's going to take minutes. He's going to close some games. You know, Wiggins is still the guy, I think, to guard the wings and guard the good little point guards, but I think there's certainly might be some juggling the minutes, and we've seen it already. And you got, I think Moody deserves minutes. And I wouldn't take minutes away from Moody right now either. So, and if Pajemski, you know, again, well, we'll see with him. He's not shooting the outside shot at all.
You hear that, Marcus? He went right to Pajemski. He went Kuminga, Moody, and he goes Pajemski over Wiggins.
Not over Wiggins. I'm just saying there are people there. They've got people there. Kerr's going to, you know, have to figure out minutes for all of them.
Gary, he said tonight he needs to get Gary Payton more minutes because Gary Payton's playing excellent.
And he played 20. Yeah,
he is just getting his hand on every ball. It is unbelievable how well he's playing.
All right, two threes. Yeah, he got six looks at him, but he's been finishing a little bit better. But, man, Moody has just been a revelation. Like, when he shoots, you just feel like it's going in. Like, you feel like it's cash. Definitely more than Wiggins, right? You feel better than when Kuminga's shooting. Like, I mean, he might be the fourth best shooter on the team.
Who's third? CP?
Yeah, I will go CP.
Yeah, I mean, but three, Moody's probably the third best from three.
Right now.
Yeah, you see Chris Paul hit his first three and raised his arms. He was so happy. Put it to the bench. I guess from three.
Center court.
Just think what it looks like to me, it looks like Moody thinks it's going in. Like, he thinks it is going in, and that makes a difference. It's not a guess. It's not a hope. It's like, this is going in. And when you think that, it's got a lot better chance of going in. He rebounds. He's, you know, good, okay defensively. He's big, a little lengthy.
Yeah, four assists tonight.
Yeah, that's another guy they got to play. Like we've said, Moody and Kuminga have to play, and they are playing. And they're going to have to find minutes for them, you know, somewhere. They're not all Anthony Lamb, you know, Jamichael Green minutes, but, you know, they are some of those, and that's where they're better. They're better when they're not playing those guys. They're not playing Ty Jerome. They're not playing James Wiseman. They're playing guys who are just better than them and giving them much better minutes.
And these guys are better than they were last season, right? Obviously, they were on the team last season, and they're. I think there's fair criticism that Moody should have got a longer leash early in the season. Kuminga should have been trying to maybe fit him in more. But the lineups that they were in were janky last season, which didn't help them. But also, I just don't think they were as sharp and polished of players as they currently are, as confident of players. And then, again, I mean, we keep going back to it, but I do think it matters. Chris Paul is helping everybody. Like, Chris Paul is making everybody else better.
Yeah. Throw the name out again. We don't have to go long on. He's so much better than Jordan Poole. He's so much better than Jordan Poole.
Especially for what they need. Exactly. You know?
And just for everyone's growth, for everyone's calm, you know, for everyone's confidence. He's just better. And the numbers are showing it. And the way they're playing is they're showing it.
Did you see that play tonight by Poole?
The one where he dribbled away from Porzingis and then tried a quick shot him from three and got it blocked.
Didn't look like it was that quick though.
No, it wasn't.
He looked like he was chilling.
Yeah. Well, he tried to surprise him.
Yeah,
It looked terrible. And he was a minus 20. He was a minus 29, by the way.
Hey, they got the Grizzlies though. Wizards beat the Grizzlies. The 0-4 Memphis Grizzlies, who I am pretty concerned about long term here.
Yep. Yeah, well, they got Ja coming back, but they're going to have to win some games. It's going to be one of those.
Well, he's got 21 more games.
Yep. I mean, and he's going to take some time to get into this. They're going to dig themselves a hole here, and they're going to have to play their way out of it. And we know that they have the talent to do it, but Yeah, that West doesn't. I mean, you got Denver, and then
that was my next question. Yeah,
Denver looks great.
Yeah, Denver's one. Who's two? Denver's though? Who's two in the West?
You know, Lakers don't look that good right now. Nope. I would say the Warriors are probably playing the second best. The Thunder could be kind of in that argument, except Denver went into Oklahoma City and popped them. But the Thunder's 3-1 right now.
Phoenix with Booker.
Yeah, that's a good one. Phoenix. They beat the Warriors, right? Yep. Yeah.
But
it's got to be healthy.
I think there is a duel for two. I think the two is open, and I think the Warriors could get there. I'm not saying they will, but I'm not. You know, Phoenix is good. They beat the Warriors at Chase, but
you know who else is pretty good right now? The Clippers look pretty good right
Clippers
now.
Are
Kawhi
winning.
And Paul
Clippers
George
do
look
pretty good. Yeah,
they're taking the regular season serious, and honestly, the Westbrook fit like it really works. It really like I think emotionally matters to them. Like his competitive level has risen. Their collective competitive level, and they're like, what did they beat the Spurs by 40?
Yeah, but it was a bad loss to the Jazz that kind of got them hyped. They definitely came out like, you know, they took that L to the Jazz. Who hit the game winner?
I can't remember, but Marcus, when's the last time you could even say the Clippers really took season game serious? That's the difference this year.
They definitely came out ready to play. There, I mean, I know we talk about like age with the Warriors, but Clippers are up there too. So the fact that they're starting with some energy, I do think it's kind of important because, you know, this thing could go south with them pretty quickly, but they're up there. I mean, Batum is playing like 35 minutes a night, right? Like, he's kind of up there. Plumlee's playing. Norman Powell's not old, but I'm rethinking where the Warriors are in the West just because in the end, these are just games, right? Like they did. Obviously, they're winning on the road is important, but these are the games that are the difference between, you know, 48 wins and 44 wins, 50 wins and 42. You just start racking up these games. They look like they're going to get these games, these winnable games against team where the team is like, all right, this guy's out. Like, that's kind of recipe for the Warriors to cook them. You know, they'll probably lose some big games, but if they just rack up these games, they'll get a lot of wins. They could definitely get to 50 wins if this is a precursor for how they'll play this season.
They won 11 road games last season and still won 44
games. Yeah.
I mean, they got three road wins already. I mean, they might not win 33 home games. That was a lot, but they can double their road wins. I mean, you know, it won't be easy, but they can. That's 22. So then they win 28 home games. That's 50. You know, the way for them to jump up their win total was on the road, and they're doing it. And they did on a back to back. I know Slater, they ever win a road back to back last season? I can't believe they would have.
Maybe late.
I'm not even sure, but like, I mean, they had 11 total. They had 11 total on the road. It's hard for me to believe they won a back to back. This is 50s there. 50s there for them. You know, if they just defend the home court and they're ready 0-1, but that was a tough one. 50 is there for them. We'll see where that leaves them. I don't think 55 is there for them, but I think 50 is definitely there for them. Could get them two, could get them three. That would be a huge advantage for them. You know, start at home, maybe your second round games at home, Caesars at home, start at home. This is how you do it. This is how they did it 2 years ago. Let's put it that way, right? This is how they set themselves up. And then you give yourself some leeway for maybe Steph misses 10 games. Maybe Draymond misses another 5 games. Maybe, you know, Clay misses game. Like, this is Chris Paul, right? He's going to miss 5 games. This is how you set yourself up for it. MT, Steph Curry going to break his 3-point record this season? I think he is.
I don't think so.
You think he's hitting
70?
I think he's going to play 70 games.
Yeah, he's going to have to play 70 games. But I think he kind of wants to. And he's averaging over 6. And you average over 6 when you play 70 games. That's 423s. Now, maybe that slows down a little, but man, it looks like he's going to make a lot of threes. I think he wants it. MT, you know better than me. I think he wants to break it. And I think he's got a really good shot to do it.
I think more than anything, he wants to be MVP.
Yeah. Well, you get 400, more than 400 threes. You're going to be on your way there. And so you got to have 65. You got to play 65 games, right, to be MVP. So he's going to want to play 65. So 70 is right there. that's going to be right at 400, 410, I think.
I asked him tonight if this is the hottest he's been to start a season, because Kerr said he thought it was. He quickly said no and said 2016.
Yeah. No, so he went crazy to start 15, that 16. Season,
right? He was unbelievable. Yeah,
you know, I looked it up. I was like, geez, I got to look it up now that you said it. I just actually tweeted out the video. He went 40, 25, 53, and 30 points to open that season, the first four games. Two of those games were against the Pelicans.
That Pelicans game was really important, because that's when they started. They weren't full on blitzing them yet. They were putting the wings on them. Remember, TK, they put like the 6'5", the Trevor Ariza types on them. But then AD was switched out on them, and AD was getting out to the line. That was the first game where Steph shot the 30-footer, because AD was on him, and he backed up and shot it. He hit it, and he was like, oh, okay, I can do that. And then I think he dropped 53 in that game or something crazy. But, that was the game. Yeah. That was the game where in his mind he was like, oh, I'll just back up, because they're putting the 7-footer at the line, and then, you know, birth the prevalence of the 30-foot shot. Before that, it was just kind of like in the quarter type deal, but it came apart of Arsenal. I remember him calculating that in his head, like, man, because I think AD might have almost got to one when he tried to pull up for regular. So he stepped back in that game. Yeah, that season. He was ridiculous.
I asked him early in that season, can you get 500? I think I asked him that, because I think he was like had averaging like 8 a game for a little while. It's like, Steph, are you going to blow this thing by like 150 threes? Because it was ridiculous. He was pretty good that season. He was pretty good in 15, 16. I just think it's set up again. Who knows with injuries? Who knows how this all will go? He could go into a slump like he was in a slump last year. But it feels like he's in a great rhythm. It feels like these shots are there for him. It feels like he's, you know, there's a great point by GP too. He can mentally rest even more while he knows CP3's got the second unit. Maybe not 6 a game, but 5.8, 5.7. 5.7 was how many he made, was his average in 15, 16. I think he could do that. He's shooting 47%. I think he was 47.5 that season. God, he shot 47.5 from 3 empty that year. Like, unbelievable. But he can do it. He can do it. He can do this. And I think he's in his head. He's like, this another incredible season. And you called that empty, right? You said MVP. You said him before the season. I just think it's, if he stays healthy, I don't know that he's going to be MVP, but it's going to be a really big season. It's just feeling like it's building. It's happening, right? We're watching it. This is an MVP level player right now.
Yeah. He doesn't have these, like in these last couple of years, I think he only has one. He doesn't have the double-digit three games. You know, like, though, to me, I think he had, like, 13 one game, 11, like,
2021, remember he had that spree at the end to get him in the play-in? That's like 10, 11, 8, 4. It was, like, crazy. But
he needs some of those. I just don't know that people will let him.
Yeah,
I just think they'll rather say, you know what, we've seen this movie before.
He hit 10 threes once last year and was actually in a loss at Oklahoma City, which is crazy.
I think what he also wants, he wants to make 15 of them in Staples Center or whatever that's called now.
I think he wants to break Clay's record, but he definitely wants to get out of Staples Center. But he wants to break Clay's record, because Clay has a single game.
Yeah, what's that, 15 or is it?
14, I think. 14, right?
Okay.
14 in Chicago.
He wants 15. He does want 15.
Yeah, he definitely wants 15.
No question.
You know who else wants 15? Clay. Clay wants 15.
Clay wants 15.
He's going to go for it too. Clay, hey, by the way, Clay played really well in the Houston game.
Yep.
Shot it well, scored it well. He's not forcing. I think he's had a pretty good open to the season defensively, the Kevin Durant assignment opening night, but even beyond that. He did get hot tonight. You know, he just had some knee soreness. I saw him in the locker room post game. It's considered very minor. But I just, you know, I think that's to be noted. I think Clay's actually had a pretty good start to the season.
I think his head's into it for sure. And the defensive assignments are, maybe it's getting his attention. Like, you got to be on your game tonight, Clay. You got Kevin Durant. You're not slacking off tonight. And the shot's going to come, the shot's going to go, but I think his head's in it. I think, you know, and maybe the contract, who knows? Like, sometimes that hurts guys. Maybe it's focusing him. And I think Kurt saying, you're our guy, but you might be guarding power forwards, but you're still our guy. maybe, you know, like he knows he's going to get paid at some point. He's, I don't think he's worried about that. It's what he's been saying. I think it's true. He might be kind of in a good state right now. They're all who's not in a good state.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's looking at this team like, hey, we might be pretty good. Yes. Let's go. Like, yes. I need to, you know, I got a backup, right? I can actually, you know, kind of lock in and focus because I'm not going to play 40 minutes.
Yeah. You know what else? Like, closing minutes are on the line every night on this team. You know, so like, you got to play well to be in there to at the end of the second and fourth quarters. Should we talk about the, I mean, Chris Paul acceptance of the bench role? I mean, it like, you know, it's definitely was a thing around this team, and like, they knew it was coming. He said all the right things, but like, you know, for, they had to actually pull the trigger on it. And I think they just decided to rip the bandaid off in the Houston game. And, you know, even though it kind of made Draymond's rotation pattern weird, right? Cause he's only playing about 20 minutes and it's so, he's anyway. I just, you know, it's a strong early sign from Chris Paul. Obviously I wrote about it. I talked to plenty of people about it. They can read kind of the more inside story of it, but I just would like to get your guys' perspective on it. Like, pretty important thing that he did, and it just as easily as he did it.
Yep. Well, man, thanks for giving us another Clay moment.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it was a hell of a story. So I was like, you talked to everybody about.
I was trying to think of a name of it. I was like, this ain't the Hepsis 5. What is this? The CP6.
That's what this. That's pretty good. CP6.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. It is like, you talked to everybody. You heard about the. You found out the meaning. Kerr, what it had, what on the board. Don't be late, Dre. Whatever. I mean, that was. Yeah. It was all great stuff. Clay saying he doesn't remember it. This is all important. Meeting that they're referring to.
Say, guys talking hoop. Yeah, I'm definitely not remembering that.
But no, this is how
he did one of his like. Yeah. I didn't even put it in, but it was like one of those deep breaths, like, barely, honestly. Just guys talking hoops. Like, and I was like, all right, well, that, I was like, honestly, that's good enough. Like, everyone else is giving like, you know, dense answers. So I was like, that's. I don't really have that many more questions about it. Thank you.
Well, I thought it was great because, like, you know, CP's taking you through his career. Like, you know, I got to Oklahoma City. What do people think? I got to Houston. What do people think? Well, I got, like, this is fascinating stuff. He's obviously had a fascinating career. He's, you know, his competitiveness is, you know, not in doubt. His career achievements are not in doubt. But it was a question about how this was going to roll. And then that, certainly the way he answered Kendra's question in Vegas set that all up. That's all true. And now we're seeing it's unspooled the way the Warriors do these things. They talk it over. They get everybody together. They don't force anything, anybody. And they say, you know what? This is going to help us win. This is what's going to help us win. Paul didn't have to say, oh, great. That's right. You know, he didn't have to. And he's accepting it because it's helping him. Now they lose again. This is the question. It was not the question like they do this and they win. Of course, it was going to be easier to accept. When they do this and they lose, more of a question. Also, the whole who's going to sit at the end of games is always going to be, I don't think it's going to be Chris Paul, but that's going to be up in the air. But there was a great story for Chris Paul. So I just read that. I can't believe that all those people were in that story, saying new things, interesting things. And this is the first and last time I'll ever compliment Slater that much on a story. But
thank you.
That was really interesting.
I do appreciate that.
I'll say the first time, though.
On this podcast. On this podcast.
Oh, this podcast. Yeah. You know, he talked about this before a little bit. He definitely, like, you know, he went deep dive into the with Slater. I just feel like for Chris Paul, it just mattered that it was going to be decided with them and not because the media said so or because this is how the Warriors do it. Like, I think he needed to talk to them. And if they made sense to him, then he would do it. But, you know, he's been doing this long enough to where it's like, you guys are not going to decide if I start or not. Right. Like, it's not going to be a narrative. It's going to be about what's best for the team. And I do think they had to convince him, like, hey, listen, our starting five is pretty good. And here's what we lose.
He referenced the stat. He's like, I guess they were, you know, it was like, it's clearly something he'd been told, but he was like, I guess they were like the best unit last year or something. But also, it's clear he's really loving about this Warriors experience and what they're loving about him. And he mentioned that he's an over-communicator, right? I think some of the past breakups he's had, if you think about it, right, it's like the James Harden one. Well, James Harden's kind of like a I mean, you're seeing it now. He's a subtle, behind-the-scenes messenger.
Passive-aggressive,
And Chris didn't like Daryl Morey either, right? He thought Morey screwed him a little bit, too. So,
It's passive-aggressive stuff. Think about the Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan stuff. It's like they didn't like how he led. And it was, like, here, he can, like, obviously he's going to be able to – we'll see how it works, but – you know, like you said, when they lose and like he's going at it with Draymond or he's going at it with Steve Kerr, but he has clearly really loved the way that they like, they just have, I mean, we've talked about this forever and you can with Andre Iguodala, but they just converse and they talk and they get in rooms and Steve Kerr will sit with you for, you know, 30 minutes after a shoot around and discuss anything you want. And, you know, Draymond and him are sitting over on the bench, like all game, like, you know, jumping off, like talking about this and that. You should see him in the locker room going around, having conversations with everyone. He's been great with us. I mean, we could all say that.
Everyone, like, by the way. Yes. Everyone. Everybody. He's talking to everyone.
And he's
talking
like,
to, there was during the preseason, he was talking to some guy who was going to get cut the next day. And like
Kendrick Davis.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? That's pretty unbelievable. But he's really, over communicator is a great line because I think that's what he is. And sometimes it's to his detriment, right? You always know what he's feeling. Certainly on the court, you know what he's feeling. But
I think it matches this organization.
Yes, absolutely.
Steve Kerr is like, meeting? Sure, I'd love to have a meeting. You know what I mean? And I'm sure, you know, it's hasn't necessarily gone like that everywhere. So that's what I'm really seeing from him is like, he's like, man, I love this team. Just like ability to just always talk and they want to hear what I have to say.
And I don't think Mike Dunleavy shies away from conversations either.
No.
Right? I feel like if there is an issue, Mike Dunleavy, he's like, yeah, let's talk about it.
Even the owner, Joe Lacob, will come in and like, I think Chris kind of into that too, right? He's probably better than the Clippers owner he had. I mean, that's just, you know, a small opinion.
Who's the Rockets owner again, Slater? Who's
Tillman Fertitta?
Tillman Fertitta.
Yeah. And I don't think he's doing that stuff, but yeah, it's staff, right? It's the foundation of this is so settled, it's so established, it's so human that everybody else reacts to that. He sets it. And Draymond's a big part of this. We know Clay's a big part of this. Kerr's a big part of this. Bob Myers was a big part of this. But it's because Steph, right? What's Chris Paul going to do? Steph, you're wrong. I think this is the wrong way to go. He's going to like, if you put a logical thing down and you're Steph Curry presenting it to me, and then it works, what am I going to say? Your four titles? Wrong. Two MVPs? Wrong. Finals MVP? Wrong. Like, that's a big part of this. And the Andre Iguodala model is there, obviously, too. They mentioned it to you, so it's so clear. You know, this is before the championships. This is before anything. This
and he was also not happy about it, by the way.
No, like, still not happy about it. Yeah. Like, still not happy about it. But it was the best thing for the team, and he did it. And guess what? He closed the games. He freaking closed it. He closed the NBA Finals, basically, as the starter.
Started the NBA Finals.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, like, there's this history there of them making the right moves. And I think Chris Paul is reacting to that, but it starts with 30. It just starts with it. That's if it were not for 30, it wouldn't work like this. But that's why you have 30. That's why it's so important to have.
That's the value, right? That's the especially the unspoken and misunderstood values that like when Steph is the star player, like all this stuff can happen. All right. Let's nitpick an issue. Scale of 1 to 10. How concerned are you about this team's finishing at the rim?
When have they ever been good at that?
Sarge misses a lot of layups.
Oh my god! I'll tell you what, though, he gets the ball down there. Like he's always down there because he collects it. Like, the ball.
He's great at getting early positioning. He'll get there. Yeah,
he just you get it to him. He looks like you know. I joke about dumping it to Looney in the traffic because it rarely anything happens good there. He's gotten better at it, but it does mess him up sometimes. Sarge like looks like he's open. Looks like there's a shot there, and then he misses. At a larger percentage than you would think. Kuminga's their best finisher. He didn't play tonight. But, you know, TJD is going to be a pretty good finisher, I think. He's not going to play that much.
I thought his hands was a little bit better than that. He dropped a couple.
He did. He's another guy who's available, right? He's just like, there he is. He's flashing. He's available. So you're trying to get him the ball, and you know he can finish. But they don't have – they just don't have finishers. That's just not the Warriors. They don't have those kinds of guys. They have – different kinds of players
almost like ever, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Kuminga's like, that's what, oh my god, Kuminga, look at that. Remember, Damian Jones was going to be that guy, like, hey, that guy can finish. I know he can finish, and he just couldn't get on the court.
Damian Jones still in the league, by the way. He's on the Cavaliers.
Oh my god, he's had a nice career after all this.
Him and Ty Jerome running that like second, third unit.
A little pick for James Wiseman, baby. Hope for James Wiseman. Yeah. It ain't over.
But no, they, you know, Kuminga's their best hope at it.
That's also what makes, Wiggins.
Yeah, Wiggins can. Yeah, Wiggins definitely can.
If he gets back to form, but like, yeah, he's missing some of those too.
What Wiggins can't do that Kuminga can is finish with the left. Yeah. Kuminga really is good at finishing with the left. Draymond's pretty good at finishing with his left, and obviously Steph is. But like, of the guys who really put their head down and get to the rim, Kuminga is tremendous finishing with his offhand. Gary GP2 cannot finish with his right. Can't do it. He just, it's not possible for him. He's really good finishing to his left, but he cannot finish to his right. That's part, you know, he's really good at a lot of different things. He's not good at finishing around the rim with his right, and sometimes you have to. But I know, like, when he's coming down the lane from the right side, he is going to try to get to his left. That is what he has to do.
I think he did that tonight, where he kind of like wrapped it around.
And he's really good extending with that left. But sometimes they just don't let you get there. Then he has some trouble. But he's so good on defense. He's better. I think he's the best he's ever been at defense right now. He's like guarding on the post, knocking the ball away from Zion. He's, you know, obviously playing the passing lanes. He is like
he broke up a 2-on-1 fast break today, and it was like it was incredible.
Yep.
But I got to get out of here soon. I got to still write this. I got a 6 a.m. flight.
Slater, so. Slater's got to go.
Your kid turns into a pumpkin.
Get home, Slater. Get home for your kid.
See you on Wednesday. We'll do an all 82 right after the Warriors Kings, right, Slater?
Ooh, we got to fly to Oklahoma. I got a flight to Oklahoma City the next day at 5 a.m.
All 80.
Let me just say this. I feel good and refreshed and high energy to start the season, but let me tell you now, back-to-back, it's like, oh, yeah, these do start to pile up. I'm only saying that
back-to-back, yeah.
As good as this older Warriors team looks, you know, they got a Cleveland-Detroit back-to-back next week, and they have a flight to Oklahoma. Like, they're playing 8 games in 8 different cities over this stretch. So, I could tire a team out. I'll just say that.
That's why you got to win them when you can. You stack up these wins, because then when you're tired and everything's against you, then you might lose. 49ers are doing that now. Well, that's another podcast.
Yeah, y'all can take that on a different pod.
Until next time, Tim Kawakami, for Anthony Slater, for our wonderful producer, Tanika Smothers.
Tanika Smothers.
Marcus Thompson. We are out of here. Deuces.
Stay up.